Hi, everyone. Welcome to Get Safe, the Movement for Change. My name is Stuart Haskin, and I'm the founder of Get Safe. Thank you for joining us. I have a very cool guest today, Kyle Chavez. He works for JPL. I'll let him tell you what that stands for, and NASA as a leadership trainer, and you can jump in anytime.
Sure, Stuart. Thank you for having me today. Appreciate it.
He's a very gifted man. He actually has his PhD from USC. He's helped us, consulted for us at Get Safe. Has really turned some things around, surprisingly, with just a few key words and key strategies. So I thought it'd be great to see him, because in our world, we're always trying to change mindsets to have more positive outcomes. And I know that's what he does, but maybe from the business corporate structure.
Yeah. So I've been with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory now for over 6 years. And previous to that, I've been at several financial institutions, Fortune 100 financial institutions, a very large insurance organization.
Used to sell insurance? Is that what you're saying?
I did on the back of my truck. Exactly. Yeah, all within the scope, within a headquarter function, providing leadership, organizational development, and affecting organizational change. And that's been my background for now almost 20 years. And I've been able to apply that to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is JPL, located in Pasadena, California. And really, much of my job right now is improving team effectiveness. So it's all about applying change and having, obviously, they're high-performing teams, so being able to get them to continue and sustain that high performance.
When you talk about change, are you changing their mindset, or are you, the behavioral aspects of it? Well, is or their how they connect with each other, or what is like? There's got to be a formula that you're doing to create a stronger team.
Yeah, so it is. It is a lot about changing mindsets. I think it begins with a roof.
I got to charge you for that.
That's is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Sure. You can invoice
Paul,
me.
Can you write that down? That's a thing.
Exactly. Well, it's I would say it's about reframing how we look at problems. I think that's where it starts. So when we look at solving, or even if it's not solving a problem, it's just where do we desire to go as a team? And pose it and start with it. Okay, well, let's sort of, I hate to say it, create a problem statement out of that and reframe it as a problem, even if it's a small problem, so we have something to solve first. And that's really starting to maybe say not mindset, but maybe a mental model and get them to be thinking.
Can you give us an example of an issue? I mean, just something you've walked into where they actually punching each other?
Fortunately, we don't have any fisticuffs. And that's a good thing. And not to say that we have a tremendous amount of conflict in our teams, but it's really the things like starting with the goal, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to have a shared vision, a shared purpose, a shared goal as a team. And we can't assume that we all share it. We all are coming with our own desires and needs, but as a team, we all need to have the same objective. So when we have clarity with the shared goal, we all are sort of strumming the same beat. So starting with that and having clarity for goal and also the roles that we have, and then not just the job, the technical job of what we're supposed to be able to do on a team, but also what is our each other's role on a team. And we have people that are sort of they're good at communication, and we have other people that are just good at organizing, and we have people good at influencing, and everybody has their sort of their knack within the team. And that's part of the behavioral things that happen within teams that helps us affect further change. So that's really where it starts.
Are you trying to, I mean, when you walk into a team, are you trying to figure out what is your asset? What can make this team grow? Because I like what you said, because that's kind of, if we're creating a team, we're trying to find out whose role will fit best and what are you good at? What do you like to do? Because that's going to help. Like you said, some are organizers, some are team leaders. Is that what you have to structure with them, starting to see who does what, or they already know what they're good at, or you just have to help them?
You know, sometimes they do know and sometimes they don't. Right. And that's a great point. Starting with people's strengths, the strengths are what tends to carry people through their careers, through the work that they do. It's sort of those hidden flaws that they don't see that, or maybe even hidden strengths too, that they may not see, that we try to help them expose and bring out into the team and help solve that.
So if you see a flaw or weakness, do you help fix that, or you kind of show, hey, you're not so great at this. Yeah. We're going to put you over here.
We get a big siren and a light. And we get that going and say, bad. Now, you know, it is about, so it starts and what we do talk about is when there are problems, well, real problems that don't get solved on maybe a flight instrument or one of our vehicles and it doesn't work the way we thought it was going to do. And it's very easy to pick the technical, say, well, this didn't work.
Right.
It's because something failed. Well, when we go back and look at the root cause, it's almost always human factors.
Yeah.
It's human behavior that causes that. And so it's something that happened within the dynamic early on in the project or something.
Yeah.
And finding it to your question, you know, finding those maybe hidden flaws or hidden strengths, it's about reflection and having them have some means of being able to do that through just asking the right questions. So it always starts with, you know, when we go in a team or if I'm coaching an individual, where do you want to go? There's a from and there's a to, and that's part of the change. Where are you at today? Where do you want to go? What's the goal that you want to achieve? It starts there. It sounds really simple, and it kind of is, but it's the complexities that sort of fall into place along with the evolution of change.
Yeah, because when you're saying this, it's funny because you're talking about a gigantic organization, but my head's racing because I can see, I mean, small teams anywhere, fast food teams, sporting goods stores teams, our little agencies teams, as well as personal teams.
Right.
I mean, I could just, you know, just even a family dynamic. You got a husband, a wife, two kids. It should be run like a team. Like, all right, what are we good at? What do you want to do? And I was just, anyway, I was just looking at such a global need for what you're doing. It's pretty amazing.
And that's a very personal thing. And it's hard for us to remove ourselves, I think, in sort of that family dynamic. And it's not that much easier in a work dynamic because that becomes the family. And I absolutely see it. You said it's a large organization. Yes, it is. But, you know, I've seen it at other organizations. I have a private organization, L2L, Learn to Lead. Mm-hmm. And within our organization, I have an opportunity to go out and support other smaller organizations. That the problems are all the same. It's a baseline.
You have your own agency then, correct? Or a consulting firm? Or
yes, it's a small consulting firm and providing services for organizational change, coaching, leadership development, change management, all that.
I'll throw out the website.
The website is under construction, but it's L2L4Change.com.
And oh, nice.
You can reach out to me, Kyle@L2L4Change.com.
Is that a working email or is that still
And that's a little plug. Yes, it is.
All right, cool. That's exciting. All right, give me one of your biggest challenges that you saw. You don't have to do names or anything. Just kind of you walked into a room. And like I said, was it a dead room? Was it the team was not performing at all or they had very poor results?
Yeah.
And then you walked in and go, oh, there's going to be a lot of work. I mean, and you got to roll up your sleeves and get in there.
Sure. Well, not to air our dirty laundry.
Yes. No. Change the names.
But I mean, I think this is agnostic enough, and it's probably something that most organizations are going to see. And, you know, recently had a team that, you know, didn't have some of the basic elements of what's needed to perform, like I was talking about, you know, the goal clarity, the shared goal, the shared vision, the dynamic that is the positive behavior that we all need to have. And so this one team, I wouldn't say conflict, but just isn't getting along well enough to be able to perform well. And when you dig into it, and again, you could pretty much plug and play all of these same challenges, it almost always goes down to some level of motivation. And when we talk about motivation, I'm not talking about the, you know, the football coach or the baseball coach, rah-rah cheerleader, which has its place, by the way. I mean, certainly.
We're talking money, right?
We're talking money. Yeah, we're talking money and gift cards. Funny enough, it's not even that. I mean, when we talk about motivation, we're talking about the work that I do, do I value it? Do I have the passion behind it? Does the work, do I even have the self-efficacy to be able to do it, the confidence? Right. That's another aspect of motivation. The organization, do they even value me and the team? So there's different dynamics within motivation that make up the whole, the entire. So when we start to pick on that and you start to figure out, okay, individual needs are meeting the organizational needs, the aspirations are aligned, we're all driving to the same goal, but just maybe a little bit differently, that's how we solve the issue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've had, and we've seen, that was probably some of the biggest challenges I've seen, and it replicates, and it's a churn, it's sort of cyclical. So.
Well, no, it makes sense, because, you know, I read a study, at the end of the day, we need money to survive. Houses, cars, gas, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's how you feel about what you've done, how you feel valued what you did. Have you contributed? Have you made a difference in someone's lives, or did made a difference? And maybe it's in a business model, something that's changed, and that's where the most valuable. And that's what it sounded like you were going at to me. It wasn't, like you said, it was not about money. It wasn't about gift cards. It wasn't about, you know, titles. It was about...
Actually, a lot of the research just says, well, why do people leave companies and why do they stay? And you would think it's all about money. And it's probably only partially about money. People will leave for the higher paycheck, but they'll stay because they're being paid attention to. They're getting the development. They are enjoying and they're engaged in the work that they're doing. And that's our goal. Is for organizations, we want people to stay. So how do we do that? Well, it's not you don't throw them money. You throw them what they need. And predominantly, it's they just need attention.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you're pretty needy. That's why you stuck around.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about a podcast myself.
It's all about you.
So when we talk about me, yeah, your stuff's interesting, I guess, but to other people.
Yeah.
No, all right. So that was one of the challenges. You said you walked into a room, and then
And it does. It's probably not just walk into a room, and it's an evolution. You know, typically we'll see it coming, and I think to be change agents, we're all change agents in our own right. I mean, we either have an expertise to share, or we're managing a team,
right.
So we all have a, sort of our role in change. Ideally, we like to catch and be part of the process of the team, right? We want to be from beginning to end. It doesn't always happen that way. Usually, you know, we'll be stuck in the middle of a project, and that's when they'll call us over, and you know, we'll say, okay, I need help. We're struggling, or maybe we're not struggling. We're doing really well. We want to keep that fire burning. You know, keeping what we'll say sometimes. How do you keep that candle lit?
Yeah,
keep
yeah.
that passion burning, and
yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even in our agency, you know, I think we're doing some amazing things. Not to talk about me again, but it is at times is cool as the things that are happening and the changes that we're making. You still see that passion dim. You know, we're human beings, so we have to be recharged. Whether it's something that we do, whether it's a team building, or hey, just go on vacation. You're burned out. Come back alive or things. But all right, so. I'm going to ask because it's changing mindset. So you went in there and you changed it. What was the outcome? I mean, how do you see it? How do you see? Because you need, even what you do, you need some kind of value. You have to see, like, I'm making a difference here. So did you see a change? All of a sudden, you feel it as a trainer that you are? Or because maybe you think, all right, I got them now. I see that there's a change coming on.
Yeah, you know, it's an ongoing consultation with these teams. How do you know what's good is what you're probably asking. What do you know when you've done what you needed to do at the end of the day? And I think it's more than, you know, JPL has had tremendous amount of success in their missions. I mean, our success rate's pretty high. That doesn't necessarily mean everything went well.
Yeah.
And so... I think the indicator of it was successful, and the people still feel really good about it. And some of those behaviors and interactions that happen on the team can be replicated again. So what did we learn from it that was good that we can apply to the next project? I think then we know we've got a good baseline and somewhat, even anecdotally, some measurement to say we got to replicate this again. And then we know we've done a good job. And when people are talking about it, say how great it was to be on that team, that's also a good indicator, because those are testimonials, and testimonials are better than any numbers, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, coming out of the, I mean, I know I'm simplifying what you're doing by walking into a room and walking out and being success.
But
I know it.
Yeah,
right.
Usually I'm raising the white flag.
Yeah, I do. But it's, I know you see a completion, because I know, obviously, we all can hear how passionate you are about what you do. So something moves you as well.
Right.
I mean, within that.
Because
if you just kept going into blank stares and nothing happened, you have to see this team evolve into what you need.
Right.
Because, you know, we're human beings. So it's, the challenges are always going to be there, but you must see it come into, like, all right, what's happening? And see a black cloud turn gray, turn white.
Yeah.
And it's going to turn black again.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's all motivating. But I just wanted to.
It's hard. And to that point, it's hard to sit in the other seat. I mean, we're trying to affect change, and we're not necessarily feeling it, but we're seeing it. So we're feeling it with them, because if we don't see improvement, we're going to get demotivated too.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's very tough being in that other seat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you talk about hearing the passion. I am very passionate. That's what motivates me,
right,
is seeing other people succeed. And when I don't see them succeed, then I don't feel well about myself.
Right, yeah.
So I have to have successes under my belt too.
Yeah, no, I'm just, that's what I know, because you obviously are passionate about what you're doing and seeing that, and you must have victories that go, yeah, I mean, that makes it worth it, because as we do, and you know, I have to have them, you know, and maybe it's just a phone call from someone saying, hey, we appreciate what your team did today. And
yes.
I go, that's, it doesn't matter how bad the day has been, that will go, we're doing something right.
Right.
And so that's the thing. So, all right. So is there anything in life personally that you'd like to see about changing, and you know, your mindset on something, and maybe seeing another outcome? Is there a personal... Oh, by the way, I didn't mention Kyle served our country as a Marine as well. So thank you for your service.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. You know, and of course, I saw since my time in the Marine Corps, you know, a ton of changes. And I think it's the realities of the, you know, the environment that we're in. It is very volatile. It's volatile now. It's been volatile. It's nothing new. It could be toxic. It could be turbulent. And I think that, you know, it makes the complexity of change much more difficult. And so I think about, you know, some of the strategies, and you were starting to hit about sort of getting that phone call, you know, and that phone call to me is the milestones. I think if we can look at change in the way we change ourselves personally, or if we're changing teams, or we're changing organizations, if we set small wins, small quick wins, milestones, that's sort of the change that we want to happen. It doesn't happen overnight, but it can happen almost in a day or over a day, overnight, because we see that little piece that we hit. We hit a milestone, we hit a win. We can feel good about ourselves.
Well, that's, I mean, so I, we do a lot of recovery-ish work, or, and I always use a statement that I've used for 100 years, is that when you want to see change, don't look forward. Don't look at your goals forward. Look at where you come from, because that's how you can measure best. Because even looking back to yesterday, but if you tell them, well, you need to get you here, they just see that mountain. But they say, hey, look where you started from yesterday. So those are the ways I always have people just measure that. Where were you yesterday? Where were you a week ago? Then they can see some sense of change, because it gets too overwhelming. All right. So in a wrap up, give us any points, 1, 2, or 3 on that we could take back to our teams at work, our team at home, that you would think.
Yeah.
And I think you said them, but maybe just give them a wrap.
I think that, I think in closing, I'd say change is hard. I mean, for some people, they'll say, I love change, and maybe that's true. But for the most part, change is something different than what our norm is. And that's very difficult. And I think what the problem with that is, we're going to find resistance either in ourselves or a team or an organization, finding those pockets of resistance and be able to overcome them, finding alliances that will help us affect that change, sort of our advocates for us. And, you know, I think I would leave you with this. When we look at change and we look at it maybe as a problem, how big is a problem in the first place? I mean, how much, you know, what are we losing, but really what are we going to get out of it? And being able to find that is the healthy way to be able to reframe the way we look at issues and challenges and problems. And as I mentioned, in this very toxic, tumultuous, and volatile world, I think that that's the way we should be looking at it.
Yeah. Completely agree. And I agree. And that last statement is very powerful. So thank you. All right. Kyle Chavez, I should say.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you for visiting our podcast, Changing Mindsets, Changing Outcomes. Again, I'm Stuart Haskin. You can find us on GetSafeUSA.com. All right. Thanks so much.